مبارك فيه مبارك علي كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الهدى قادة التقى. أما بعد. Right, does anybody have any questions from last week?
No.
No? Okay. Let me just bring up my notes. Okay. So we looked at the different types of inqita that you can have in the isnad. We basically said that depending on where in the isnad there is a drop, there is an omission, then it has different names. So if it's from the beginning of the isnad, from the point of view of the musannif, then it is known as mu'allaq. If it is on the other end of the isnad, towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's the tabi'i who is doing the dropping of the sahabi, then this is called mursal. If it is if there is two drops in the isnad and they are consecutive drops, then this is called mu'adal. And if there are one or more drops in the isnad, anywhere in the isnad, as long as it's not in the beginning and the end, then this is called inqita or munqati'. So Imam Ibn Hajar now basically kind of give us a division. This is what he calls this type of inqita. He calls inqita bahir. He's going to talk about inqita batin as well. Okay, so this is what we're going to look at today. ثم إن السقط من الإسناد قد يكون واضحا يحصل الاشتراك في معرفته ككون الراوي مثلا لم يعاصر من روى عنه. So then the drop in the isnad, sometimes it is conspicuous, واضح, and everyone, يحصل الاشتراك في معرفته, everyone is able to understand that there is a drop there. كَكَوْنِ الرَّاوِي مَثَلًا لَمْ يُعَاصِرْ مَنْ رَوَى عَنْهُ. So for example, an example of that is سقط واضح is that the Rawi wasn't in the same era as or same time as the person who is narrating or from. So for example, if I was to say something like Sheikh Mustafa Sabri narrated to me. Yeah, Mustafa Sabri died before I was born. Okay, or Sheikh Abdul Fattah, not Sheikh Abdul Fattah, Sheikh Zahid al-Kawthari narrated to me. Okay, Sheikh Zahid al-Kawthari died before I was born. Obviously, everybody will know that because all they need to do is check the dates of the death and birth, and that is obvious. Yeah. Ismail ibn Ayyash basically mentioned that he heard a person saying that I heard from the tabi'i Khalid ibn Ma'dan. Now Ismail ibn Ayyash, he was a narrator, Khalid ibn Ma'dan was a tabi'i. Ismail ibn Ayyash felt that this guy was doing something dodgy. So he said, oh, when did you hear from Khalid ibn Ma'dan? So he said, I heard from Khalid ibn Ma'dan in 112 Hijri, during the Armenian War. So he says, Ismail ibn Ayyash says, oh, so you telling me that you heard from Khalid ibn Ma'dan 12 years, 6 years after he died in a battle that he did not even attend. So obviously, this person had a lot of students around him, woody students, but then when that person was pinned down, you know, he gave dates which was completely wrong, and then he was exposed. Okay, so this is the easiest way of knowing that there is a break in the isnad, because if somebody says I narrated from so and so, and it is not possible because they were not contemporaries, then that is what we call inqita' wadih. Okay, aw yakuna khafiyan, or the inqita' is subtle. Yeah. فلا يدركه إلا الأئمة الحذاق المطلعون على طرق الحديث وعلل الأسانيد. The انقطاع, the omission is so subtle that only the really erudite, experienced ulama, those who know the different chain of narrations, and those who know about the ilal al isnad, about the hidden defects in isnad, they are the ones who are the only ones who have got the experience to know that there are people missing. Okay. فالأول وهو الواضح يدرك بعدم التلاقي بين الراوي وشيخه. So the first one, he's expanding on the first one. The first one, which is called wadih, which is obvious or conspicuous, it could be understood by knowing or by learning that the rawi and the person he purports to be narrating from, he purports to be his sheikh, they never met. Why? بكونه لم يدرك عصره. That because they did not, بكونه لم يدرك عصره, that he did not, was not contemporary to the sheikh. أو أدركه لكن لم يجتمع, or that they were contemporaries, but they never had the opportunity to meet. وليست له منه إجازة, and he neither has any form of إجازة, license from him, ولا وجادة, nor did he read something that he read from the author, which gives a general ijaza. So wijada is like a book that you find, and in that book it will basically say that you anybody who reads my book has got have got ijaza to read from me. Okay, so this is called wijada. So you found something, and it has a general ijaza in it. So either the person wasn't contemporary, or the person was a contemporary but they never had the opportunity. They never had the opportunity to meet. Okay, this last one is known as Mursal al Khafi. Mursal al Khafi is basically when a person is a contemporary of another person, and what they never met, they never had the chance to meet, and the Rawi narrates from the Sheikh, giving the impression that he has met the sheikh or he has heard from the sheikh, giving the impression, not directly telling, but more of it is coming. This is called Mursal al-Khafi. So for example, Sheikh Nuruddin Itr is a contemporary of ours who passed away a couple of years ago. I use Sheikh Nuruddin Itr's book quite a bit. Sheikh Nuruddin Itr's PhD was on Tirmizi. My PhD was on Tirmizi. Sheikh Nuruddin Itr was an Azhari, I'm an Azhari. Sheikh Nuruddin Itr was from Halab, I've also visited Halab. And the time, many times that I quote him, somebody might think that I met him. Okay? Or the many times that I quote Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi, rahmatullahi alayh, somebody might think that I met him. Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi is an Azhari, I'm an Azhari. We were in the same circles, but I've never met him. But I might say, Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi said this, and someone might assume that I am narrating from this, from him. It's an assumption, it's a perception. I'm not saying 100%, I'm not saying that he told me, I'm just saying that Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi said this. Now, he said this, I might have heard it from a second source, or I might have heard it directly from a TV interview, or I might have read it from his book. But I say Sheikh Yusuf al-Qaradawi said this, and somebody else presumes and assumes that I heard from him directly. This is called Mursal al-Khafi. Al-Mursal al-Khafi. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This is what it's talking about. So, فالأول هو الواضح. So they've given two kind of ways of learning what a واضح, obvious, something which is obvious drop in the Islam. Number one is that they weren't contemporaries. One died before the other one was born. And if he says, حدثني, Sheikh Yasin al-Fadani, that Sheikh Yasin al-Fadani, Sheikh Yasin al-Fadani died before I was born, people will know that I'm lying because they just need to put the dates together, right? The other one is a bit more difficult because there is a probability that so that we are contemporaries. However, we've never met, but there is a probability that people take the wrong assumption. So that's a bit more difficult. That's still wadih because there are still circumstantial evidences that can basically people can investigate. So the second one is known as mursal al khafi. Okay. ومن ثم احتيج الى التعليق لتزمنه. And this is why we are we require علم التاريخ. Yeah, here it's just not date. It's not talking about date, it's talking about ilmu tarikh, the discipline of biographies. So it's not just talking about dates, it's talking about the discipline itself, at tarikh, tarikh with a capital T. Right? Why? لتزمنه تحرير مواليد الرواة ووفياتهم. See, this sentence here tells us that this word here is not just date. We don't, what is actually talking about the discipline of Ruat, yeah, Asma al-Rijal. Tariq is another name for Asma al-Rijal. لتزمنه تحرير موالد الرواة ووفياتهم. Because ilmu tariq constitutes writing the birth dates of narrators and their death dates. وأوقات طلبهم وارتحالهم and the time and the dates that they started seeking knowledge وارتحالهم and their ارتحالهم and their journeys. So these are all found in the Kutub of Asma al-Rijal. So here the word tarikh doesn't mean just date, it means the discipline of tarikh, right? For example, Imam Tirmizi rahmatullahi alayhi visited Baghdad, yeah, when Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was still alive. And yet we find that Imam Tirmizi does not directly narrate from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he narrates through a student of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But they were contemporaries, and both of them were in Baghdad at the same time. Why is that? If we look in the books of Tariq and we look at when Imam Tirmizi Awqat when he went to Baghdad, and we look at the personal situation of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal at that time, we know that there came a point where Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal stopped narrating hadith altogether. He stopped completely narrating hadith for whatever reason. And it was that time that Imam Tirmizi visited Baghdad, but Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was not teaching anymore. Okay, and therefore, when Imam Tirmizi narrates from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he narrates through one of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal's students. So these things are related to dates, related to people's personal biographies. We can only find out these things once we start looking in the books of tarikh and putting the dates together. وقد افتضح أقوام ادعوا الرواية عن شيوخ ظهر بالتاريخ كذب دعواهم أو كذب دعواهم. Both of them is permissible. الكذب والكذب. Okay. دعواهم. And many people have been embarrassed and shown up because they have claimed that they have narrated from a particular sheikh. ظهر بالتاريخ كذب دعواهم. But by looking into the biographies, one was able to show the lie or the untruthfulness of the da'wah. So this is what I mentioned, Ismail ibn Ayyash challenging a person who said, who narrated from Khalid ibn Ma'adan in 112 Hijri in the War of Armenia, which was 6 years after Khalid ibn Ma'adan passed away. Yeah. والقسم الثاني وهو الخفي. And the second type, which is the khafi, which is the more inconspicuous type of missing that only the ulama who deal with these issues and the ulama who have kind of studied them and studied the ahwal of the ruwat, etc., very carefully, then these are the ones who are able to detect the subtle, inconspicuous drop in the Isnad. So before going into the actual ibarat, this is the discussion of tadlis. Tadlis basically means to drop your sheikh out and give the impression that you are narrating from your sheikh's sheikh. Now, how would you give the impression that you are narrating from your sheikh's sheikh? Because your sheikh's sheikh is also your sheikh. So if we were to write this out. So let's say, let me switch this off. You with me?
Yes. Yes, and I see the whiteboard. Yep.
Now, tadlis will be that the Rawi completely drops out Sheikh 1 and he narrates from Sheikh 2 and gives the impression that he has heard this particular hadith from Sheikh 2 by using words which are ambiguous, such as an and qala. These are ambiguous. So from and he said. Now, from basically means it's from someone. Did you get it directly? Did you get it indirectly? It doesn't say that. Qala, he said, doesn't really say whether you heard it or you didn't hear it. Now, the reason why there is this ambiguity is because this is the relationship. Sheikh 2, Sheikh 2 has got two students. Sheikh 1 and the Rawi. And the Rawi. But that same Rawi is also a student of Sheikh 1. Yeah? So the Sheikh 1, he shares his Sheikh with his student. So can you see? And people know that. Yeah? So for example, if I was to give you an example myself, okay, I'll take Mansoor. And say, my teacher, Maulana Abdul Rahim. Yeah. And then his teacher, Sheikh Yusuf Mutala, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Yeah. But Sheikh Yusuf Mutala, so I studied Sahih Muslim with Maulana Abdul Insan. I studied Sahih al-Bukhari with Maulana Yusuf Mutala. Maulana Yusuf Mutala is my teacher, as well as Maulana Abdul Rahim's teacher. But Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab is also my teacher. So can you see the relationship here? So if I was to perchance hear something from Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab, who basically said that, oh, Hazrat taught us this hadith when we were once visiting Medina. Yeah? Hazrat taught us this hadith when we were, oh, Hazrat taught us this, or Hazrat told us this piece of information when we were visiting Medina. So now when I come to narrate this, I drop out Maulana Abdul Rahim, and I basically said, Hazrat said this when he was visiting Medina, X, Y, and Z. Now, why would anybody who knows me and knows where I study have an iota of doubt, have an iota of doubt that I did not hear that from Hazrat? When I say Hazrat said in Medina, X, Y, and Z. So Hazrat is Maulana Yusuf Mutala. Why would anybody doubt that? I studied with him for 6 years. So why would anybody doubt that? So, but I didn't say I heard Hazrat say this, I just said Hazrat said this. The other person who's listening will may or may not go with the impression that I heard this directly from Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala, and I am narrating from Maulana Yusuf Mutala. The fact that I am dropping out Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab, this is called Tadlis. I'm dropping out Maulana Abdul Rahim Saab, and I'm directly narrating from Maulana Yusuf Mutala, giving the impression that at this moment I heard from him, and therefore this is Tadlis. Yes, it. Just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Okay, so are you with me, Hussein and Omar?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's quite simple, right? It's however, the obvious person, it will be quite difficult for them to understand that there is something missing there. However, someone who has been always a very close companion of Maulana Yusuf Mutala and has always been with him, or has studied his work, or studied all of the things his writing a biography, will know that Hazrat said this in 2019 in Medina, and I was not in Medina, therefore I could not have heard that from Maulana Yusuf Mutala. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's basically an investigation, but the investigation is a bit more di difficult when it comes to Tadlis because
Right.
of the kind of relationship that is built in. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there are, as far as Tadlis is concerned, yeah, one of the interesting thing is that the ulama have said that no one is actually free from Tadlis. No one is free from Tadlis. Every single scholar has done some sort of Tadlis once or twice in their life, even the likes of Bukhari and others. So this is why Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani has a book called Kitab al-Mudallisin. In this book, he has five tabaqas of these Mudallisin, and nearly everyone actually is on that. Some Tadlis is tolerable, others are more severe. Tolerable is because every single time. So it's like, so you can then say that why would somebody do Tadlis for? And it's probably because somebody's, I mean, the way that we do it, I heard something from one of the Sabu, who heard it from Hazrat, and rather than me giving an isnad, we don't, in our everyday speech, we don't give an isnad. We just basically say the information, and now the other person might think whatever the person might think. But I had no intention of being deceptive here. The intention isn't deceptive. The intention is just to get the message out very quick. Yeah, but that is still seen as a form of tadlis. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Sometimes what happens is, so this goes to this issue, right? Sometimes what is Imam Ibn Hajar only mentions Tadlis here, but sometimes what happens is that, let's say there is a Rawi here, right? Let's say there is a Rawi, strong Sheikh. Yeah. Big Sheikh. Strong Sheikh. Right. This not is going this way. So we have this person who's a weak link in the middle. So sometimes this Rawi here might gloss over this weak Sheikh, knock him out, right? And therefore the isnad is quite, because the this weak Sheikh is bringing down the entire isnad. So sometimes a Rawi will drop out this weak Sheikh, and therefore we have that it's not going like this, so it's entirely strong. This is called Tadlis Taswiya. Taswiya basically means to Tadlis Taswiya. It basically means to, or sometimes this is called Tajweed as well. Tajweed. Tajweed from Jawwada Yujawwidu means to make things very good. So Tajweed, making, or Taswiya basically means to flatten things out, making barabar. This is the worst type of the. What do you want, Zain? Okay, I'll listen to you after. You can go now. It's Maghrib, try one, please. Aswa at-Tadlis. Yeah, it's the worst type of tadlis, because there is direct tadlis of taswir or tajweed. There is direct deception involved. Yeah, and this is the worst type of tadlis. The other, which is this one, it's not really this called tadlis. It's not really that bad. Okay, it's tolerable. But this one, tadlis of taswir, is the worst type of tadlis. Sometimes you may have, like for example, you may have a Rawi, yeah, and then you have a strong Sheikh, and then you have a weak Sheikh here, and then you have a strong Sheikh here. Right. Sometimes, rather than knocking out this this weak sheikh, what they do is they use a different name, which is not that famously recognized. Okay, because this person, might be. The name that this person might be recognized by people, list Abu Sa'id al-Maslub al-Kalbi, the name that this person is recognized by, immediately people hear it and say, oh, this guy's weak. Okay, so they may use another name which is not so famous, and therefore the person is not being able to be identified straight away, and therefore the strong sheikh number one and strong sheikh number two, people will see that there are two strong sheikhs in the isnad, that this person who they can't really identify, put their finger on, must also be a strong sheikh. Right. Again, that's a different strategy. Okay. That also happens. That is also a form of tadlis, right? But the worst is this tajweed or tadlis taswiya. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. والقسم الثاني وهو الخفي المدلس. مدلس is the hadith where tadlis was done بفتح اللام. سمي بذلك لكون الراوي لم يسمي من حدثه. It is called this because the Rawi, the narrator, did not name the person who narrated to him. وأوهم سماعه للحديث ممن لم يحدثه به. And he gave the impression of listening to the hadith to the one who did not narrate that hadith at that moment to him. Okay, that person that he's narrating from the sheikh to here, the sheikh to here is also his teacher. That's why it makes the ruse or it makes the kind of deception a lot more harder to detect. Right. Well, at that moment he didn't. وَأَوْهَمَ سِمَاعَهُ لِلْحَدِيثِ مِمَّنْ لَمْ يُحَدِّثُهُ بِهِ. Imam Ibn Hajar is going to give some examples. وَإِشْتِقَاقُهُ مِنَ الدَّلَسِ. And the word مُدَلَّس and مُدَلِّس and تَدْلِيس is from the word دَلَس بِالتَّحَرِيكِ. بِالتَّحَرِيكِ means all of them, دَلَس, all of them have got haraka. وَهُوَ اِخْتِلَاطُ الظَّلَامِ. And this is basically the mixture of darkness, okay, with light. Summiya bidhalika li ishtirakihima fi al-khafa'i. It's called tadlis because both of them have both of them unite on the idea on the concept of inconspicuousness or the concept of something is hidden. So in the dark, you can't really see things properly. Minute objects are almost invisible unless you kind of go and look very hard. So similarly, tadlis, on the face of it, it looks like that everything is hunky-dory and it starts looks to be connected. But if you kind of dig deeper, then what happens is you find that actually it's a lot more than the eyes meet. So yes, I mean, tadlis is a form of ilal. So, you know, when we say adam al-shuzuz and then adam al-illa, yeah, so what is this illa? What is this hidden defect? So tadlis is one of those hidden defects. So illa is very broad. That's why the ulama don't pin it down. But tadlis, this is why he said here, أو يكون خفيا على طرق الحديث وعلل الإسناد. Yeah, وعلل الإسناد. This is why he said because تدليس is a form of علل in the hadith. ويرد المدلس بصيغة سمش بي مدلسة ويرد أورد يورد يرد 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 المدلس مدلس بصيغة من صيغ الأداء تحتمل وقوع اللقي بين المدلس ومن أسند عنه كعن وكذا قال. And the hadith is brought with, or the hadith appears, yeah, so ويرد المدلس also makes sense. The hadith appears with such terminologies, with such a sira from those words which are used to talk about hadith and audition and reception and transmission. تَحْتَمِلُ وُقُوعُ اللُّقِيِّ بَيْنَ الْمُدَلِّسِ وَمَنْ أَسْنَدَ عَنْهُ. It gives these words give the impression that there has been a meeting here. A luqi or a liqa here doesn't only mean physical meeting, but also means that, well, a liqa wal riwaya, that they actually did the riwaya from that person. Bain al mudallis, between the rawi, the mudallis, وَمَنْ أَسْنَدَ عَنْهُ and the person that he is reporting from. And these words such as عَنْ and قَالَ. So this is what I said, that the in such a way it is said that the person who is listening, the person who is listening goes away with the impression that there is a direct chain here, at least for this hadith, and that there's a direct transmission from the sheikh to the student, at least in this particular hadith. And this deception is caused because for a number of reasons. Number one is there's nothing to suspect the rawi to lie, because the sheikh that he's narrating from, he's met him and he's his sheikh as well. And also the words that he's using are ambiguous, qala, and an. These are ambiguous words. They're not really saying I have heard. And وَمَتَى وَقَعَ بِصِيغَةٍ صَرِيحَةٍ لَا تَجَوُّزَ فِيهَا كَانَ كَذِبًا. And whenever وَمَتَى وَقَعَ بِصِيغَةٍ صَرِيحَةٍ, and whenever it appears بِصِيغَةٍ صَرِيحَةٍ with a صريح, very clear word, لا تجوز فيه, where there is no مجاز and ambiguity in it, كان كذبا, then this is a lie, is كذب. What that basically means is that a مدلس, if a person is being تدليس and he says حدثنا and سمعت, where he hasn't heard from this sheikh at this particular instance. And there is no other way that we can interpret these words, لَا تَجَوُّزَ فِيهَا, we can't even do majaz here, then this person is lied. Okay, so if a person gets caught lying, then he's no longer a mudallis, he's a kadhab, he gets banned forever. This is why the mudallis is quite clever. The mudallis doesn't outright lie, but gives impressions of an and qala. By giving impression of an and qala, he's not directly lying. And this is why the ulama, they've understood this ruse. So what they have said is that if a person is known to constantly do tadlis, his perpetual pathological mudallis, then he is not allowed to use ambiguous words. He has to say an. Sorry, he has to say حدثنا سمعت أخبرنا. He can't use words such as أنّا, قال, عن. He can't use those ambiguous words. So when we look at the طرق التحمل or the صيغ التحمل, the words that are used to transmit and receive hadith, we have حدثنا سمعت, we have أخبرنا, we have أنبأنا, we have قال, we have an, we have ajazani, we have shafahani, katabani, all of these nawalani, all of these words are used to denote transmission and reception. But the mudallis, if he's known to do tadlis, and he's famous to do tadlis, is the pathological mudallis, then an'anatu, this is the famous word, an'anatul mudallis is not accepted. The an'anatul mudallis is not accepted. When we see a mudallis and he is using the siga of an, the ulama will basically demand that he uses حدثنا or سمعتُ, words which there is no ambiguity. If the mudallis is reluctant to use حدثنا and سمعتُ because he don't want to be caught lying, then we reject the an'anatu al-mudallis is rejected. Okay. Unless he says حدثنا and سمعته. And he can't say حدثنا and سمعته and lie about it, because if he lies about it, he gets caught, then he's no longer a مدلس, he's a كذاب. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
تدليس is very important. تدليس is very important to understand, because it will come over and over again. So it's basically somebody narrating from somebody else who he has met, but has not narrated from at that particular moment, and he's knocking out his immediate sheikh and giving the impression that he has met from the person that he is narrating from. This is called tadlis, or at least tadlis shuyukh, and then there are other types of tadlis with taswiya and tadlis ul atf, etc., etc. Yeah. وَحُكْمُ مَنْ ثَبَتَ عَنْهُ التَّدْلِيسِ وَحُكْمُ مَنْ ثَبَتَ عَنْهُ التَّدْلِيسِ إِذَا كَانَ عَدَلًا The hukum of the person from whom tadlis is established, if he is a trustworthy narrator. He says, إِذَا كَانَ عَدَلًا Because everybody once or twice in their life of the tadlis, form of tadlis, right? And therefore, a person can be a mudallis or have done tadlis, but he can still be a trustworthy person. Here we're talking about Tabaqa 3, 4, 5 of Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani Kitab al-Mudallisin, where the these people are, we can't really take the words on face value. So the hukum of those people is Allah yuqbal minhu illa ma sarraha fihi bitahdisi ala al-asahi, that it, any hadith will not be accepted from them except that when they do tasriih, very clearly do mention that they have narrated the hadith from the Shaykh ala al-asah, according to the most recognized opinion or the Sahih opinion. So this is what we call an'anatul mudallis la yuqbal. An'anatul, so it's called an'anatul mudallis. The an'ana, saying an'an, or an'ana, or qal, or qawl of the mudallis la yuqbal, hatta sarraha bit tahdith. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What if they only did tadlis like a few times?
So we need to basically check the tabaqat of the mudallisun to see what tabaqa they are on. So تعريف أهل التقديس بمراتب الموصوفين بالتدليس by Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. So these are the tabaqats of ruwat according to Imam Ibn Hajar, are 12 tabaqats. And then he has 5 tabaqats of the mudallisun. Okay, there we go. الأولى من لم يوصف بذلك إلا نادرا كيحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري. يحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري is one of those scholars who is seen as, like, nobody has criticized him. So even من لم يوصف بذلك إلا نادرا. Again, he says إلا نادرا. Very seldom. But still they haven't done it. Because everybody does it, like, for example, we do it because, not because we're being deceitful, but because we just want to get the information across rather than giving the whole chain, right? الثاني من احتمل الأئمة تدليسه وأخرجوا له في الصحيح لإمامته وقلة تدليسه في جنب ما روي. So the ulama have tolerated their tadlis. ما روي كالثوري أو كان لا يدلس إلا عن ثقة ثقة كابن عيينة. The Ibn Uyayna, he does tadlis, okay? But he does it only from thiqa, right? So we have already mentioned this hadith of ta'dil ala al-ibham, or somebody missing, everybody that I miss, before, so we've mentioned that. So there are scholars who, the ulama, have tolerated the tadlis, or they don't do tadlis other than only from thiqa. And this is what we mentioned last week, that man asnada faqad ahala wa man arsala faqad takaffala. Al-thalitha man akthara min al-tadlisi falam yahtajjal a'imma min ahadithim illa bima sarrahu fihi bis-sima'i wa minhum man radda hadithum mutlaqan wa minhum man qabilahum ka Abu Zubayr al-Makki. So the third is those who have done it at least quite a lot of times, that the ulama have said that we will not accept the tadlis unless they do tasrih of simah by saying haddathana or sami'tu. And there are those who basically say we're not going to accept their opinion at all. Even their tahdith, when they say haddathana, we are not going to accept this. And this is what Imam Ibn Hajar is referring to here. إلا ما صرح فيه بالتحديث على الأصح. This is what على الأصح. He is referring to this ikhtilaf here that some people have rejected this. But the Asah opinion is the Asah opinion is that it is accepted. For example, Ka'abu Zubair al-Makki. So Abu Zubair al-Makki, he narrates from Abu Zubair an Jabir around 152 times the Sahih Muslim. He narrates Abu Zubair Abu Zubair an Jabir radiallahu ta'ala 152 times he narrates it. But the ulama, they accept it because in other places the same hadiths he has done tasrih of sima. And then من اتفق على أنه لا يحتج بشيء من حديث إلا بما صرحوا فيه بالسماع لكثرة التدليس على الضعفاء والمجاهل كبقية بن والد. That the ulama basically do not, so the third one and the fourth one, as far as the hukum is concerned, both of them is the same. It's just that the fourth one is they narrate more from, weak narrators. For example, Baqi ibn Walid, when he basically does an'ana, it is not accepted unless he says haddathana. And then man ضعفa bi amrin akhar siwa at-tadlis fa hadithu mardudun walau sarrahu bi sima'. And then there are those who are mudallis, but they're, in addition to being mudallis, they have other problems with them, and because of that, the hadith is rejected. So then he goes, he has a whole discussion on this, and then he says, والتدليس تارة في الإسناد وتارة في الشيوخ فالذي في الإسناد أن يروي عن من لقي شيئا لم يسمعه منه بصيغة محتملة ويلتحق به من رآه ولم يجاز. And then he's going to ويلتحق بالتدليس الإسناد تدليس القطع. Then so then you've got we've got تدليس القطع, then we've got تدليس العطف, and then we تدليس الشيخ آخر, and then تدليس التسوية. وهو أن يصنع ذلك, so Imam Ibn Hajar, he is somewhere, he says, وهو أسوأ, he says, is the worst type of تدليس. And then he goes on to مرسل الخفي, and then he talks about المرتبة الأولى. And he says the first martaba, which is those ones who seldom did it at least, he says there are only 33 people. Yeah? Ahmad ibn Abdullah ibn Ahmad ibn Isaq al Isfihani al Hafiz Abu Nu'aym. So Hafiz Abu Nu'aym al Isfihani, Sahib al Hilya, is one of those 33 people that Imam ibn Hajar deems to be very seldom they have done tadlis. Yeah? Are you with me?
Yes.
So another famous one is Ahmed Muhammad Hamza al-Dimashqi al-Qadi, Ishaq ibn Rashid al-Jazari, Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, very famous hadith scholar, Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani, famous hadith scholar. I'm just looking at the famous one. Hafs ibn Ghiyas, one of the ruwats of the Sihah. Very famous scholar. So if we go on to the next section, Al Martabud al Thaliya wa Idatum Thalatha wa Thalasuna, again 33, he says, I think Ibrahim ibn Yazid al Nakhai. So Ibrahim al Nakhai, this is our man from the Hanafi fiqh. Ismail ibn Abi Khalid, Ashraf ibn Abdul Malik, these are all famous ruwats. He also has Imam Bukhari in this book, so we have read it. حسن بن مسعود، حماد بن أبو أسامة، أبو أسامة الكوفي، حماد بن أبي سليمان الكوفي، زكريا بن أبي زائدة الكوفي. So these are famous names. سفيان الثوري is here. سفيان بن عيينة. So he says, فقيه الحجاز في زمانه كان يدلس لكن لا يدلس إلا عن ثقة، وادعى ابن حبان بأن ذلك كان خاصا، ووصف النسائي وغيره بالتدليس. Right. So you can see سليمان بن داود الطيالسي، سليمان بن طرخان، سليمان بن مهران الأعمش، a very famous حديث scholar، عبد الرزاق بن همام السنعاني صاحب المصنف، عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده، عكرمة، يحيى بن أبي كثير one of the rulers of the سياسة ستة، مرتبة الثالثة 50 نفسا. So he goes on إسماعيل بن عياش حبيب بن أبي ثابت. So these are famous rulers. So you can see it's a very, you know, if you're into Islam analysis and things like that, these are the books that you need to be reading. And the more you read, the more feeling that you get for the topic. Yeah. وكذا المرسل الخفي. So and the same with مرسل الخفي. What is مرسل الخفي؟ إذا صدر من معاصر لم يلقى من حدث عنه بل بينه وبينه واسطة. مرسل الخفي is that إذا صدر من معاصر that the hadith is coming out from a contemporary that he did not meet or he did, and so obviously if he did not meet then he did not but he's narrating from him. So like I said, me and Sheikh Nur al-Nu'aiti and Sheikh Yusuf al-Qardawi are contemporaries, but we've never met. بل بينه وبينه واسطة, but there is a واسطة. So والفرق بين المدلس والمرسل الخفي دقيق. So what is the difference between the مدلس, the تدليس, and المرسل الخفي? It says there's a subtle difference. حصلت تحريره بما ذكر هنا. The conclusion of this is what I mentioned here. وهو أن التدليس يختص بمن روى عمن عرف لقاؤه إياه. The تدليس is, so this is just defining the, splitting it further. Okay, all of these we can bring them within the ambit of drop in the isnad, but just kind of the terminology is being more nuanced and defined, right? So تدليس is only specific to the person that man rawa amman urifa, that narrated, that everyone knows that he has met that person. When we say liqa doesn't only mean meet but also narrated. So he's narrating from a person that everyone knows that he has narrated from him, but at this particular moment in this particular hadith he is not actually narrating. There is a wasata, there is a person missing that he's dropping out. Does that make sense?
Okay, can you say that again?
So the difference between tadlis is that in tadlis, the person that he is purporting, do you know what purporting means? Purporting means is presenting the idea that he's narrating. The person that he is purporting from, he has actually met and narrated from that person, meaning that that person is a sheikh. If I was to give you the example of myself, Mullah Abdurrahim, and Mullah Yusuf Mutala, I am purporting to narrate this piece of information from Mullah Yusuf Mutala, and everybody knows that I am a student of Mullah Yusuf Mutala. I've been taught by him, so I will narrate from him. But at that particular moment, that piece of information, I did not actually hear from him. I heard it from Mullah Abdurrahim himself. But I'm missing out Mawlana Abdurrahim Sahib and going directly to Mawlana Yusuf Muttala Sahib. So this is tadlis. Tadlis is done with where the person that you're purporting to be narrating from, you have actually, everybody knows that you have actually narrated from that person in a different place because he's your ustaz. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Hussein, did you get that?
Yeah, I did. So with Mursal al-Khafi is potentially that they could have met.
But they never met. It's never established that they met.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only difference. The only difference is that in the tadlis is that you have met and also met. And by liqad ulama, they basically say that he is a teacher. Right. That's it's not only meeting, but actually, they do say meeting as well. But primarily they mean liqa wa riwaya. Yeah. Mursal al khafi is walam yu'raf annahu laqiyahu. There is no evidence. There is no knowledge that this person has met the person he's narrating from. This is called Mursal al khafi. But Imam Ibn Hajar is then referring to a ikhtilaf where some people say that there is no difference between tadlis and mursal al-khafi. Look, what is happening here is that we are kind of refining terminologies, right? What we could have done is we could have basically just said one thing. Yeah, we could have said. We could have said, if there is a drop in the isnad, yeah, if there is a drop in the isnad, then that is called. Just hold on. Not sure why, but he's doing that. Let me just stop the video. Where is it going now? If there is a drop in the isnad, then this omission of the isnad, we can just call it inqita, inqita. Yeah, we can just call it inqita, and any form of missing in the isnad, any form of missing in the isnad, whether it is in the beginning, whether it is at the end, whether it is you know, whether it is zahir, whether it is batin, just call it inqita. Right, but the ulama wanted to kind of further, so you could just basically say this is an inqita, right? And then you won't have this thing, or is this mursal khafi, or is this tadlis? It all comes under the ambit of inqita. But the ulama, they go on and they you know, they do wadih and they do khafi, right? The mursal khafi, depending on how you look at it, can either be from wadih or khafi, depending on how obscure the information is related to whether they met or not, can either fall in either camp. Then from wadih, you can basically say, again, any drop in the isnad is called munqati'. Yeah. We can say that, well, any drop in the isnad, but the ulama, they wanted to refine it further, right? And they wanted to basically say, no, if there is a drop in the beginning, we call it mu'allaq. If there is a drop at the end, we call it mursal. If there are two drops, then we call it mu'dal. And if there are non-consecutive or in the middle, we call it munqati', right? So you can see how the terminology is further refining. We can put mursal khafi here as well, because even though the mursal is khafi, it's mursal khafi and mursal khafi is a type of mursal, right? So we can put it here as well. But then you can basically say, okay, if it's khafi, then it's tadlis, right? If it's khafi, then it's tadlis, and everything comes under tadlis. But no, they decide to kind of further refine it to mursal khafi, and the difference will be al-liqa thabit, and here al-liqa ghayb thabit. Does that make sense? So it just basically further nuancing and further refining it. To a certain extent, that it kind of then becomes quite a kind of hair splitting and makes it quite difficult. We can just basically say all of this is inqita, and this is the hukm for inqita. But then you can't, because then mu'allaq is tolerated, mursal is tolerated some places. You know, the mu'dal is not tolerated. The tadlis is tolerated when it's like that, right? But even in tadlis, you can break it down to tadlis and taswiya. You can break it down to tadlis and shuyukh. You can break it down to tadlis al qat'a, tadlis al 'atf. Then you can break it down to the tabaqat. The tabqa one, tabqa two is accepted. Tabqa three, tabqa four is accepted with further condition, and Tabaqat 5 is not accepted at all. So it goes into more granular detail, which kind of makes it quite difficult, right? But hey, we're not going to challenge these, but they do challenge it amongst themselves. Yeah.
Interesting.
So this is why he says waman adkhala, right? So did you understand this? What I'm trying to do here, of how how this becomes granular. So then he's alluding to a discussion here, is that some people do not make a difference between mursalul khafi and tadlis. But Imam Ibn Hajar is pushing back against that. Remember, Imam Ibn Hajar is now coming in the late Mamluk period, and he's coming to that phase where he's coming to that phase where now ulumul hadith is becoming an independent science. It's becoming a theoretical science. If you look at the earlier books, then it was more of a practical science. Ulumul hadith now is becoming mustalah. Is becoming a theoretical science, and it says on the basis of Sabr and Taqseem, we can basically put all of those categorizations, yeah, put all of those categorizations, which even the kind of earlier muhaddithun did not even contemplate that these categories existed. And this is why you have like people like Hamza Abdullah Malibari and others saying that no, the Mamluk period, they've just gone too logical on this and too atomistic, and they've come up with all of these divisions which doesn't fit on to the earlier muhaddithun, and what we need to do is we need to go back to Bukhari and Muslim. Yeah. So anyway, so he says, وَمَنْ أَدْخَلَ فِي تَعْرِيفِ التَّدْلِيسِ الْمُعَاصَرَةِ وَلَوْ بِغَيْرِ لُقِيٍّ لَذِمَهُ دُخُولَ الْمُرْسَلِ الْخَفِي فِي تَعْرِيفِهِ وَالصَّوَابِ التَّفْرِقَ بَيْنَهُمَا. Those people who say that woman, those people who give the definition of tadlis, that tadlis basically only happens when the minimum definition of tadlis is muasara, right? And meeting is not necessary. Yeah. So what he's saying is, So remember the definition of tadlis he's given. The definition of tadlis that he gave was that he has met and narrated from the person who he's purporting to be narrating from at that time, right? Some people basically say that no, this is not the definition of tadlis. The definition of tadlis is that the two only have to be contemporary. The two only have to be contemporary. There is no condition that they have narrated from each other, right? He is alluding to the ikhtilaf here between Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Imam Muslim talks about this in the Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim, that only mu'asara is required contemporary. You don't need to establish that these people have met and narrated from each other. So Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani is basically saying whoever only defines tadlis as mu'asara and does not add a liqa to the definition, they will also be forced to include mursul al-khafi in the definition of the tadlis and mursul al-khafi is the same thing. But وَالصَّوَابُ التَّفْرِقَ بَيْنَهُمَا. Imam Ibn Hajar is basically defending Imam Bukhari's position here. Imam Bukhari is of the position that liqa is needs to be established at least once in a lifetime, whereas Imam Muslim says no, not liqa, but only mu'asara. Anyway, so this is وَالصَّوَابُ التَّفْرِقَ بَيْنَهُمَا. He says that no, we don't collapse tadlis and mursal al-khafi into one. There is actually the dominant opinion is that there is a tafriqa between them. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اِعْتِبَارُ اللُّقِيِّ. So he's giving dalil why that tadlis and mursal al-khafi is different, and why liqa is a part of the definition of tadlis. He's going to go on to talk about Abu Uthman al-Nahdi and the Mukhadrimin, etc., which we can, we need to pray Maghrib, so which we can pick up next week, inshallah. Okay, so we'll carry on with the discussion after this. It's an important discussion because quite a lot of things hinge on the discussion of this. Is that okay? Any questions before we finish?
Well, just one quick question. I might be jumping the gun here. So you know how the categorization of Mursal Wadih and Mursal Khafi, would that also apply to a Mu'allaq? Like, would you get a Mu'allaq Wadih, Mu'allaq Khafi, or anything like that?
What is the source of your question? Like, why are you saying that? What is this thought process?
No, I'm just wondering, because a Mursal is a in Qita in the Sanad, and you've got different categorizations of it in Qita in the Sanad. So would they, would they all be further categorized into Wadi and Khafi, or does that just apply to Mursal?
It just applies to Muslims because Mu'allaq is quite you probably missed the lecture where we discussed that Mu'allaq can be Mu'adhal as well. But then the question was, can Mu'allaq be Tadlis? And Imam Ibn Hajar says, no, Mu'allaq and Tadlis. So Mu'adhal and Mu'allaq can be together, but Mu'allaq and Tadlis. So this is the question that you're asking. Because Tadlis is inqita' khafi, isn't it? So this is a question, can we have Mu'allaq khafi? So in other words, you're asking, can we have Tadlis? So Imam Ibn Hajar basically says, you either, so you can have Mu'allaq and Mu'adhal together, but what you can't have is you can't have Mu'allaq and Tadlis together. You either have Tadlis, which is inqita' khafi, or you either have Mu'allaq. So you need to go back to the recording on that, or we can just go through it next week. Like I said, it's prayer time. If you just
Okay.
remind me of that question again, then we can go through it. Imam Ibn Hajar actually does discuss it.
Okay, right. Shukran. Thank you.
Okay,
Salaam
Jazakumullah.
alaikum.
Okay, Assalamu alaikum.